And this is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. In 2009, 8-year-old Sarah Brassey was sick for 2 days in bed. The only care she received was from her 10-year-old brother. No one realized at the time, but she was having an appendicitis. By the time Schertz police and emergency medical tech showed up to her home, Sarah was on the floor dead. The child's father and stepmother, David Brassey and Samantha Britton Brassey, were charged with injury to a child and manslaughter. In 2011, it took jurors 2 hours to find them guilty. The case was the focus of the Sunday Express News investigative article by Melissa Fletcher Stolce, and she joins us now on the phone to talk about this case. She looks at the Child Protective Services and what role they may have had in this and overall problems with CPS. The number to call to join us, 614-8980, 614-8980. You can also email your questions and comments to The Source at TPR. Melissa, welcome to The Source.
Well, hello.
So you take a look at Sarah and her story, and Child Protective Services, they had already been investigating the – is it Brassey? Is that the right word?
I think it's Brassey, yes.
Brassey. They investigated the family. So this was not Child Protective Services knew this family.
Yes, I think, starting in 2007, they were pretty much, in and out of the family's life for about 2 years. There were at least, there were 12 calls that came in and at least six different investigators that were involved, and they opened and closed at least three major cases. So they were, this family was not unfamiliar to CPS.
So the people may be wondering, the child is sick, in bed for 2 days, she's having an appendicitis. How could this happen? How could the father? He was an EMT himself, right? A trained EMT.
Yes.
And the mother, where was she?
Well, she was a stay-at-home mom. Samantha was, and it came out in the trial that David left home that morning at 4:30 in the morning, and he didn't come back home again until her body had already been transported to the hospital. But Samantha was there all day, and she didn't testify in front of the jury. Neil, Sarah's brother, did, and he checked on her and covered her up when she said she was cold and brought her a glass of water. But, she went home from school and, with a stomach ache, crying, and then, she died at 6 o'clock that night. And, from what we could tell, she was alone and in bed and had been dead for hours before EMS showed up.
Now, your article, what's the story that you're telling us in the article? What's the takeaway?
Well, the story, we focused on this one child death case, but we sort of use that as a vehicle to look at problems that some former workers and current workers say about the workplace culture at CPS. And, it's well known that it's an underfunded agency and caseworkers are overworked and, work to the limit. But what really hadn't been discussed are some of the sort of workplace culture issues that I heard about from talking to, handfuls of caseworkers. My main source was Carrie Wilcoxon, who was a former award-winning investigator. And they talked about things like, poorly trained supervisors, uneven caseloads within certain units, people basically being worked into sickness and not being able to take time off that they had coming to them. In the Brassey case, an investigator in 2008 found a finding of neglect that was well documented in writing, but it was overturned by a committee. So they talked about, caseworkers being second-guessed by managers. These are trained caseworkers that go through a lot of training to do the very important job they do. So I felt like that was sort of the takeaway, was this look at this culture that even though there's been lots of training and, through the years, DFP, well, the Department of Family Protective Services has gotten more money. They have recruitment programs and retention programs, and they have focus groups for supervisor feedback, but it seems like the culture is just not changing, and it's putting children at risk, according to these former workers.
But the CPS, Child Protective Services, has gone through reform after reform. Mm-hmm. We've seen lots of cases in San Antonio that have just, you know, taken the headlines and made people realize that this service is not adequately funded. And we have the legislative session, and they talk about these issues, and they tell us that it's fixed, and then more cases happen.
Right, and what's so sad is the number of cases where CPS has investigated families, you know, sometimes multiple times, and then a child still dies or is severely injured. And, you know, I don't think anyone thinks caseworkers and supervisors can predict the future. Certainly that's not it. But it seems like, you know, perhaps a different paradigm or a different orientation needs to happen, since, you know, throwing more money, hiring more caseworkers doesn't seem to be getting at the issue, at least here locally in Bexar County, where we had the second highest turnover rate last year among caseworkers, and very high child victimization rates, the highest rate of re-victimization in these families over 5 years. So, you know, maybe it's a time to step back and look at, you know, what have we done so far, and maybe what we need to do differently, because it seems like, at least to look at some of these cases and talk to these workers, there hasn't been enough change to, you know, get the numbers going in a different direction and stop these deaths where CPS has been involved, and still there's a very, you know, horrendous outcome. You know, maybe we need to just take a fresh look and look at management culture, you know, look at, you know, management strategies. I mean, I don't know. It's going to take greater minds than mine, but maybe a think tank might happen soon, and, you know, there was an external outside task force. Senator Carlos Ureste wrote a bill in this last legislature that would have put together kind of a task force think tank from the outside of CPS, you know, with CPS input too, of course. It would look at some of these workplace culture issues, but it died. It was tied to another bill or another amendment that would have caused drug testing for TANF recipients, and it died. So, but maybe it can still happen in under a different venue, so I'm hopeful.
The case, I don't remember, go back to Sarah's case. She had a father and a mother at home. He was an EMT. I don't understand why there was so much child neglect in this family. It wasn't just her. The other kids, too, seemed malnutrition. They looked like they weren't getting the proper health care.
Right. You know, one of Sarah's brothers actually ended up in a hospital because of some aggression at school because he was off his medication. You know, teachers talked about them all not having the right hygiene and not wearing, you know, coats to school. And so, yeah, it's really kind of baffling because, you know, Mr. Brasse was warned time and again, you've got to get medical insurance. You know, he left the military and there was a gap in there after his military insurance before he finally got the kids on Medicaid. And, you know, it's puzzling because he's, you know, a 17-year career veteran with, you know, some knowledge about how things work, and still, I mean, he had to be reminded again and again that he needed to provide medical care and health insurance for his kids. So, you know, that's baffling in itself. And then why CPS, you know, one role is to get these families involved in services and get them signed up for things that's going to help the kids. And you know, the parents in these various safety plans, which they sign, that where they agree they're going to do certain things like parenting classes or, you know, counseling, they would sign them and then nothing would happen. And it would just kind of month after month go on and nothing would ever change.
Right. So, Melissa, we're going to take a break, but we're going to be right back. We're going to continue this conversation. We're going to hear from some callers. People have got some questions. We're talking about Child Protective Services, also the tragic case of 8-year-old Sarah Brasse, who died from appendicitis by not receiving health care from her family. This is The Source on KSTX. We'll be right back. This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're on talking about Child Protective Services. Melissa Solji is a reporter for the San Jose Express News. She had an investigative article in the Sunday paper about the death of 8-year-old Sarah Brasse, died of an appendicitis after not receiving care from her family. Her father was an EMT, David Brasse. He says that it was a tragedy, but not a crime, not child abuse. Let's go to the calls. We have one on right now. Maxine wants to join the conversation. Maxine, welcome to The Source.
Thank you. I became a CASA in 1980, and so I have been dealing with or familiar with and spent hours and hours at CPS. And every time I hear how overworked they are and how they have too many cases and whatever, I wish the reporter or someone could go in and just stay at CPS for, you know, even a half a day. And you'll see that this is, if they're so overworked and they have so much to do, I'm shocked because I certainly don't see it. I know it's a stressful job, but I can also tell you that this is not, how can I say it? This is not as terrible as they make it out to be. I have unfortunately dealt with caseworkers who I've reported things to, and they, you know, I don't know if they're lazy, if they don't care, if they just get desensitized. I don't know what it is, but also I just couldn't do it anymore because of the lack of cooperation with CPS and the lack of professionalism, the lack of caring. And I know I, as a volunteer, I'm there because I want to be. I know they're there because it's a job, and unfortunately, it's a job with possibly fatal consequences.
Okay, Maxine, thank you for that call. Melissa Stolge, Samsung Express News. You're hearing a lot of frustration from Maxine. She apparently has eyes on at CPS, Child Protective Services. Have you heard this type of complaint before?
Well, no, and actually, you know, I think it's interesting, the idea of a reporter going to spend a half a day at CPS. It's very difficult to get information from CPS. You know, there's obviously confidentiality rules that are in place that makes it really hard to get information. We were lucky to get the kind of documents we did to be able to tell Sarah's story. But, you know, the caseworkers I talked with over the almost year that I spent on this story were very passionate. You know, they were there for the best of motivations. They were there for the children. Of course, these are the folks that came to me that do care. So I may be seeing a certain self-selected crowd. But, you know, part of the problem, too, is as an entry-level investigator, you're paid $36,000 a year. But I think the majority of these people, they're not in it for the money. They're in it because they want to help children and they want to save children. But of course, in every field that you see, there are good apples and bad apples. It's true in journalism. It's true in, you know, every field out there. But the ones I've talked to, they care very deeply about their job.
All right, back to the phones. If you want to join the conversation, the number is 614-8980. Carrie is on the line. Carrie, welcome to The Source.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I wanted to kind of jump back a little bit on what Melissa was talking about with regard to the current, she described it in her story as dysfunction with NCPS.
Now tell me about you know this how.
Well, I'm a former CPS investigator.
Okay.
Okay. Today, I met with Senator Carlos Uresti, and much of those conversations today focused on supporting the current commissioner, the new commissioner, and his current movements to improve upon the high turnover rates and high caseloads by possibly introducing the idea of the type of training that would allow for the family-based caseworkers that provide the services to the family after an investigation to include some in-home skills development to the family to address the re-referrals and intervention issues, along with the type of training that the investigators receive that obviously affect the quality of the safety and risk assessment during the investigation, but also that would help foster a good foundation for those who will eventually promote up to management positions.
Okay, so Carrie, you're saying there things can be fixed. This is a fixable.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I think in years past.
Okay, sounds like we've lost that call. But Carrie, thank you for that phone call. I'm going to go ahead and move over to Joanne. Joanne is the mother of Sarah Brassey, and she wants to join the conversation. Welcome to The Source, and I'm really it was a heartbreaking story that I read in the article in the paper. I'm sorry for your loss.
Yes, Thank you. I appreciate it. I was kind of surprised that it was on the radio today, but pleased at the same time because I've really wanted attention brought to this issue.
So just for the listeners to clarify, you're the birth mother of Sarah, but you were not in the home. You're not the one that was there, the stay-at-home mom that was not taking care of Sarah at the time.
Yes, correct.
Okay. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. I think that for me, the hardest part, and it's what I wanted to let others know, is that feeling of helplessness that you have as a parent or as a person who has concern for a child when you have CPS involved and, you know, they don't do what they're supposed to do. For example, and I think it was mentioned in the story yesterday, is the information that they had that they didn't share, that they had a legal right to do with me when they had an investigation going on a year prior to Sarah's death. There was an investigation open. They interviewed my children, and I was never notified about it. And my husband and I, ex-husband, but at that time still my husband, we weren't even divorced yet. Had I known that information was out there, I would have had what I needed in the custody hearing at our divorce to obtain custody of my children. And I think that's the hard part, is that had they just done what they were supposed to do, my children wouldn't have been in that situation.
So you feel that Child Protective Services has a lot of the blame, the fact that Sarah died?
Absolutely. It's not to detract from the blame that should be on Mr. Barassi and his now wife, Samantha. They absolutely themselves were not doing what they were supposed to with the children, and that's evident through all the CPS records. But absolutely, CPS had definitely, they had avenues that they could take. They could take him to court and force him to comply with the family planning, the family service plan, and they didn't. My daughter, when she died, had periodontal disease. She had problems with her mouth, and there was no evidence that he was taking her to the doctor. In fact, that's what I was doing the last day that I saw my daughter, was I took her to the dentist for a procedure, and we ended up having to leave because her dad would not show up to support, and it was required to have two adults there because she was going to be sedated on the ride home, and he refused to show up, so I couldn't go. But this caseworker that was the family-based worker, Patricia Cortez, was getting ready to close their case, and that was in the notes. And she was doing this with Sarah in the condition that she was. I don't understand that. It's not like these were people that were creating a front of being good parents, and CPS had no clue. They had all the red flags. They had all the signs, all the warnings, and they ignored them. And they didn't do what they had power to do things. They had things they could do, and they didn't do that. And that ended up costing my daughter her life because it's all those things. And I think a lot of people forget that it's not just physical abuse that can kill children. Neglect can kill a child, and not paying attention to a child's needs and not getting the care that they need in a timely manner can kill a child. And I think a lot of people weren't focused on David because there wasn't as much sign of physical abuse as there was of neglect or medical neglect. He had a case of medical neglect on him through CPS, again, about a year prior to Sarah's death.
Okay, well, I want to get asked
basically what killed her.
Joanne, don't go away. I want to keep you on the line. I'm going to ask also Melissa Stolge, Central Express News, was there a follow-up investigation to what happened at CPS Energy? Was anyone identified for dropping the ball? Were there any changes made?
Well, we got an internal review that was done about a month after she died at the request of Udeste. And from what we could tell, no one lost their job. There was sort of this innocuous report about how more training needs to be done in certain areas and, more communication with the police. And, I mean, there were some good ideas. But from what I can tell reading this review, no, there was no disciplining. The folks, that were involved are still there, except for Patricia Cortez, who resigned 3 years later after, she got an evaluation that she wasn't doing her family contacts like she was supposed to. But, from what I can tell from the review, it was very anodyne and just, listing various trainings.
Okay, well, real quickly back to Joanne. Your daughter died. Your husband and his ex-wife or the daughter's stepmother convicted of child abuse. Did CPS follow up with you? Were you interviewed in that follow-up investigation?
Are you speaking with me?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Were you followed up? Did they interview you in that follow-up investigation?
Which one? And I apologize. But
the CPS, Child Protective Services, when they tried to find out what went wrong, how is it that that Sarah died? You saw what was going on. You saw the fact that they weren't these follow-ups or these opportunities to save Sarah weren't taken advantage of. Did CPS Energy come back to you and say, Jonah, what could we have done differently?
Okay. No, they did not. They absolutely did not. The only people that spoke to me was Senator Resty's office. I know I spoke with him. I called a number of different, government officials and spoke with them. But with CPS, they basically developed, don't talk to her because we're in legal process. They had, it felt like I had a red flag on my file.
So they locked you out.
This lady called, don't talk to her.
Joanne, I'm so sorry about the loss of your child. Terrible. I'm so sorry. And also, Melissa Stolge, Central Express News, thank you so much for joining us. We're out of time. This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We'll be back on the air again tomorrow. Thank you for listening.
This is Guy Raz.